Dr. Alan Redpath. He said the Jews succeeded in getting their work done and keeping the enemy at bay. From verse 6, the people had a mind to work. Verse 9, they had a heart to pray and an eye to watch. And verse 20, they had an ear to hear. May we do the same. Amen.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone, and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah with part two of the message, The Effect of Opposition. Let's listen in.
Once God says, you're not guilty, because you've asked Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life, he imputes into your account the spotless, perfect, sinless record of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And it is perfect. And that is what you possess. Keep that always in your heart and always in your mind. Man, let go of last year. Let go of yesterday. Let go of it. No, listen, just let it go, the rubbish. And then in verse 11, and our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come, the adversaries, now that's their enemies, until they come into their midst, kill them, cause the work to cease. So a surprise attack evidently from all these different directions. And so now we move from, you know, fatigue and frustration and to we're going to find ourselves now in fear. And you know, it says the enemies are going to attack us. You know, fear and faith, they don't mix, do they? No. Listen, verse 11 would discourage me. Listen, I don't know which direction they're coming from, but I know they're coming. I know they want to kill me, and it's going to be a surprise attack. But you know what? The Bible tells us that fear and faith, again, it doesn't mix. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen? There's healthy fear, and then there's unhealthy fear. You know, when I'm anxious, and sometimes I am, and worried, if you will, isn't that a terrible thing to do, is worry? It means worry is, the word is angina, it tears you apart. I always go to Philippians 4:6, and I pray that prayer for myself. Be anxious for what? There you go. Be anxious. Don't be torn apart. Don't be worried. Bill, don't do that. Don't be anxious for nothing. Absolutely nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the very peace of God himself, his very own peace, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. The word guard, as you've heard me say 1,000 times over the years, means to set a military arsenal around the two areas that the devil wants to attack, your mind and your heart. Amen. God says, I'm going to put my own guard right there. No one's going to touch you. So we don't have to be anxious or torn apart for anything. Now look closely at what they were afraid of in verse 12. And so it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, and they told us how many times? 10 times. Well, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. So you better, in other words, you better have some eyes in the back of your head. You know, Satan always uses those within, meaning those among us, to bring discouragement. Did you notice that it said that the Jews lived near them, meaning near the enemy? When you live close to the enemy like that, I'll tell you, you're going to be discouraged. And you know why? Because you listen to the voice of the enemy and not the voice of the good shepherd. Man, listen, I want to hear the truth. I don't want to hear a lie. I don't want to draw close to the enemy. I want to draw close unto God. Amen? So there's two characteristics here in this verse that we find about rumors. Number one, rumors are always originated from those who are closest to our enemies. Number two, they are always exaggerated. It says 10 times. They repeated it over and over and over. Listen, don't listen to rumors. If you want to look at a rumor in Nehemiah, read later on Nehemiah 6:6. Don't listen to rumors. Listen to God's truth. Amen? Now, Here's how we defeat discouragement before it arises. Look at verse 13. It says, therefore I, meaning Nehemiah, look what he did. He positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families, and look what he did with swords, with their spears, with their bows. Now listen, the greatest thing that we can do if we want to resist being discouraged is this: always reinforce your weak points. Always do that. If you know your weak points, why would you leave them wide open for attack? Amen? You want to reinforce that area. Did you notice the wisdom of Nehemiah? He put every father with their family. You know how difficult it is to be, you know, your family's being threatened, you're being threatened, and you have to be down here all the way away from your kids and your family? No, you wanted to be safe. Nehemiah, very smart, godly leader. He says, no, I want everybody to be with their families, and that's the area you're going to be fighting from. Because Nehemiah knew that they would be working better. Now, he also placed the families where the walls were least defended, you know, and so forth, least protected. And so that's what we need to do as well. And did you know it said families? You know, never fight discouragement alone. We need family, don't we? What's important? Now look at the next one. It says, if you want to defeat discouragement, overcome it, look at verse 14. And I looked, in other words, Nehemiah looked up and arose and said to the nobles, said to the leaders, said to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of your enemies. But look at the incredible wisdom and advice he gave to them in the midst of this opposition. He said, remember the Lord. Whatever you're facing in your life, whenever discouragement comes, would you remember the Lord? He is great. He is awesome. Amen. He knows every discouraging moment that you have in your life. He also knows what to do about it. And he says, watch this. Don't be discouraged. Remember the Lord and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes, your houses. Whenever Jehoshaphat, when he was there and surrounded by his enemies, it says in 2 Chronicles 20, he said, we don't know what to do. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's the greatest thing you can do in the middle of any battle that you're facing. And you know something, loved one? Listen, whatever your eyes are on when you're going through conflict like this, whatever your eyes are on looking at, that will be your source of help. You may say, well, you know, I'm looking at my education or my money or this or that. No, listen, you better be looking at the Lord, because he is your answer. The Bible tells us in Psalm 121, verse 1, it says, the psalmist says, I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Now, our help doesn't come from the hills, but the maker of the hills. Amen. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand, meaning your protection, your defense. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night, meaning there's not one time that God is not on duty protecting you. Amen. He says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. He watches over you. It doesn't mean that you won't feel suffering at times and pain, but what it means that evil will never win over the believer. And he goes on and he says, and the Lord shall preserve your going out, your coming in from this time forth, and listen to how long he's going to preserve you, even forevermore. Man, listen, greatest thing you can do is remember the Lord. He is great. He is awesome. He loves you. Amen. I thank God for that. Look at verse 15. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, he says, and that God had brought their plot, their plan to nothing, and that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. I love that scripture. You know why? I'll tell you. Because you know something? Sometimes are we in a downtime? It's like, come on. You know, the discouragement tries to set in. But listen, when we are in a downtime, I've learned, and you know it as well, that God is preparing for us to have an uptime. You see, if you're down deep in a valley, you know what? That means you've got to finally come out. Amen? You got to get to the top sooner or later. Listen, God's plans never fail. Never. The ones that he has, the counsels of his heart, the Bible says, for you will never, ever fail. Now look at verse 16. And so it was from that time on that half of my servants, meaning Nehemiah's men, his personal servants, they worked at construction while the other half held spears and the shields and the bows, and they wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. And those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens, they loaded themselves so that with one hand, and I love that, watch, with one hand, what did they do? They worked at construction, and with the other hand, what did they do? They held their weapon. Listen, isn't that great strategy? In other words, we're building just like they were, okay? So if we're going to be building, we know we're going to be battling, and that's exactly what they're doing. Every time that you start anything for God, anytime you say, I want to obey the Lord. I want to do what's right today. I want to follow the Lord with all my heart. Anytime you rise up and say that, you better be prepared for a fight, because the devil is going to rise up and try to discourage you and try to oppose you. He says, and every one of the builders, he had his sword girded at his side as he built. What a picture that creates. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me, Nehemiah says. You know, the greatest example we could follow is this one right here. As we work for the Lord, as we labor for the Lord, we need to be listening for that trumpet, don't we? Because you know what? Let us work right up until we hear that. You know, like the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it's for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Paul says, therefore, scare one another to death with these words. Prepare for the great tribulation. Look for the Antichrist. No, he says, comfort one another. Comfort one another with these words. You know what? We could be leaving tonight. I mean, man, can you imagine that? And not that I want to leave. I do, but I don't. I know there's many people that need to come to Christ. Amen? But it's not sinful to desire to go home. It's not sinful to get away from sorrow and death and hurt and carnage and all the hell that happens. It's not that at all. Listen, we want to work until the trumpet sounds. Then we're going to come up hither. Oh, Lord, we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. Now look at verse 19. And then I said to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great, the work is extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Now, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. And here's the reason. Not that we have to fight, but our God will fight for us. You know, the late great, and he was great, the Dr. Alan Redpath, great man of God. He said about these scriptures that I'm reading from this chapter, this is what he said. He said, the Jews succeeded in getting their work done and keeping the enemy at bay, and he gave these reasons. From verse 6, the people had a mind to work. Verse 9, they had a heart to pray and an eye to watch. And verse 20, they had an ear to hear. May we do the same. Amen. He says, and so we continued in verse 21. We continued the work with half of the men holding spears from the first light of dawn, look at this, till the stars came out. I love that scripture. They began working at the very first crack of light. And how long did they work? Until the stars appeared, meaning there was absolutely no enough light to do any of the work. You know, isn't light weird? You know, morning, the way it happens. I know I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating. It'll only take me an hour. But, you know, it had such a profound effect upon me in my life. I was about 5 years old, maybe 6 years old, but no more than six, because I had not started elementary school. And I was always intrigued on how you would go to bed at night and you'd go to sleep and it was night. But when you woke up, it was day. I know that probably doesn't puzzle any of you now, okay? But it puzzled me. It really, really did. So I'll never forget the big porch there at the house in Fort Worth where I live with my father. There was like a brick column and then a flat area that you could just sit on. It's so huge, anybody could sit there. And I would lean against that brick. So I left the house about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just waited outside. I sat right there and I kept waiting. Okay, is it going to get light? How is it going to get light? And I'll never forget, I waited all that time and then all of a sudden it just started getting light. And I went, you've got to be kidding. So that's how it happens. Now, I know that wasn't profound for you, but for me, listen, that was a ha-ha moment or whatever you call it. It changed my whole life. All right, never mind. Man. Now look what it says here, verse 21. What a nice bunch you are. We continued working with half the men. Now watch this. From the first light of dawn till the stars came out. Can I be tender and say something? I look at this and I say, wow, they worked, I mean, every day. Of course, they didn't do the Sabbath, I'm sure. But I'm going from the first light until they couldn't see any more to work. And you know what? I wonder why all Christians can't just work 1 hour per week. 1 hour. And they don't have to be here before sunrise. And they don't have to stay till dark. Just 1 hour. I mean, these guys, they were in danger. Amen? There's no danger at Calvary Chapel. I mean, maybe the unsafest place at Calvary Chapel would be working in the nursery. But Becky, my wife, is always back there, and I promise you, she'll help you. If you get afraid, she'll tell you how to calm down and protect you. Never mind. And at that time, I also said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night. In other words, don't go to your homes outside the walls. And so it says, so they can serve us as guards by night, workmen by day. And neither I nor my brothers, meaning his relatives, nor my men, the guards with me, took off their clothes. Now, that's what I call commitment. Amen. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. So when he took a water break, he still carried his weapon with him. They didn't even take off their clothes, loved one. Listen, they were on guard all the time. That's that constant readiness. You know what that says to us is that we need to be clothed. We need to be clothed every day with the full or the whole armor of God. Amen? That's what it's all about. You know, discouragement, I know, comes from the wicked one. I preached a sermon, I don't know how long ago, 2 or 3 years. Remember, discouragement is a dart. A dart from Satan. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to feel that you're not going to make it. He wants you to always look at your circumstance and look at yourself, you know, and so forth, but never look unto the Lord. He doesn't want you to ever put on the armor of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All of them. It doesn't say 50% of them. It doesn't say 25% of them. It says 100%. When that dart of discouragement, you know, I lost my job. I'm not going to make it. What am I going to do now? My bank account is empty or whatever it might be. Loved one, listen, my kids are not going to make it. Take up the shield of faith and extinguish every fiery dart. See, you're either, listen, you're either, the Christian is either going to live by the fiery darts or by faith. And the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And you take the promises of God and you quench out all those fiery darts that the devil is going to send you. Now listen, I think one of the greatest reasons for discouragement among the believer today is that they're going in their own direction instead of God's direction. Remember what Jesus told us in Luke 9:23? He told us, he said, listen, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, then here's what you need to do. Let him deny himself, disown self. In other words, it's no longer about Bill. It's about only about Jesus. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And then the next thing is to follow me. You know, when you're following him, you're going in the right direction, and you can never, ever be going in the wrong direction. Amen? And that will remove all discouragement. You know, discouragement tells us that, you know, it's time to give up. It's time to quit. Don't do that. You know, Paul writes in Galatians 6:9, he says, let us not become weary, or literally discouraged, in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest, here it comes, if we do not give up. where discouragement doesn't say, well, just quit. No, no, no. He says, don't give up. Listen, God loves you. He knows if you're discouraged. He knows that you need to be encouraged. Don't ever, whatever you do, no matter what you're facing, I mean, no matter what you're facing, never, ever let discouragement tell you that Jesus Christ, the one who loves you and died for you, is dead to your problems. Don't you ever, please don't ever do that. And that's what the devil wants. See, he doesn't love you. See, he doesn't care. Oh, cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Does he really? If he did, why are you in this condition? Listen, no matter what condition you're in, even if you caused yourself to get in that condition, God is faithful when we are faithless, and he will get you out of it. But you have to look unto him and not look to anyone else. Amen? He'll never let you down. Never. Discouragement is a lie. Discouragement says to quit. Discouragement, there it goes, time out. One more story, because it's still light outside, and I know you have time to get to wherever you're going. I was so discouraged, not last night. I was discouraged. I don't know if it was, it was two nights ago. I had a major plumbing issue. But you know, it's like, and Becky goes, honey, why don't you just call the plumber? I said, you don't think I can fix it? I said, I've always fixed our problems. I know what to do. So I go in there, I buy the first part, it didn't work. I go buy another part, it didn't work. Then the water starts flowing. And I can't turn it off. She has the pan. The water's coming. And I said, empty it. I'm running to Home Depot. I said, I'll buy a cap to cap that thing off. I go all the way to Home Depot, come back. It doesn't fit. I get back in the truck. I drive all the way to Home Depot. I tell that guy, I said, this doesn't fit. You said it would fit on the end of this thing. He says, well, I want every size you have from half inch all the way down. He says, are you serious? I said, now, right this minute. I said, my house could flood, man. I'm serious. I was so discouraged. I was thinking, can you take me home, Lord, right now? I go buy all that, spend over $200. Did you think the cap stopped the water? Oh, no. Becky says, please, honey. I said, leave me alone. I don't want to even tell you what I really said. You know, my wife and I, we never argue. That's honest, very rare. I mean, it's funny if we argue, okay? So I go into my garage, nothing would cap it off, and I build a contraption this long. I take it and I put wood into a hole here. I put plastic in, and then I get a clamp. I tie it on the end of it, come back, tie this in, and the water stopped. And I brought my sledgehammer just in case it didn't, because I was going to beat that thing to death. And you think I'm kidding you? I'm still discouraged because it cost me $500 to have the plumber come out and did it in 10 minutes. Don't allow discouragement to tell you that Jesus doesn't care. Because he cares, and he knew I wasn't going to really hit that with a sledgehammer. Isn't that right, Lord? But did I want to? You cannot imagine. One scripture, and we're going to go home. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him. That literally means look carefully at Jesus. Look deep at Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You know the main reason that Christians become weary and worn out and burned out and discouraged is they're just not looking at Jesus anymore. They're looking at everything else. And you know what? If you just stop and think what Jesus endured for you, you won't be discouraged.
On Love Never Fails Tomorrow, Pastor Bill continues his study in Nehemiah with the message, the cure for conflict. And we do hope you'll tune in once again. Amen. Thanks everyone for listening to the broadcast today. We hope you have a great day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.